O Gadadhar, Kunti Devi is speaking. O Gadadhar, Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet, and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. Purport. The subject of this verse is the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Generally, feet are not considered a very nice thing. Smelly feet. Dirty feet. If someone puts his foot somewhere, then that becomes contaminated. And shoes. You don't bring your shoes in the temple, they're contaminated. Actually, the proper system is you should take your shoes off as you're wearing, and then wash your feet before coming in the temple. That's the proper system, because it's always mixed up. From the street, there's so much dust. And anyway, the lower part of the body is always considered less. It's below the waistline, the lower down you get, it's considered more contaminated. So that's the greatest insult, is to touch someone with your foot. You see that when Bhrigu Muni went to test Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, first of all, he insulted Lord Brahma mentally, then Lord Shiva verbally, and then he insulted Lord Vishnu physically in the most abominable manner, it would appear, by placing his foot upon the upper part of his body. We also find that sometimes the Pandavas, as described in the Natural Devotion, either Sahadev or Nakul, were saying, I will kick him in the head with my left foot. The left foot is even more. Left is not as good as right. So the feet, it's considered contaminated. That's why you shouldn't touch your feet. Sometimes you see devotees have the habit, they play around, they're fiddling with their toes, and then they touch and they pick up the Srimad Bhagavatam. Not to be touched. You have to be very careful with your feet. You don't step over anything. Very careful not to touch anyone with your foot. Of course, in the modern world, we have crowded buses, and there may be some religious festival, there's so many people, so it may be accidentally you may touch someone, but then you have to express regret. So the feet, they're not considered very good. But Krishna's feet, that is very good. That is the object of meditation by great yogis. Dhyana avastita tatkasena manasa pashyanti yam yogina. The yogis, they are meditating on Lord Vishnu. Specifically, they are meditating on the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. There is that verse in the Brahma Sanghita, Panthastu koti shatavatsara sampragamyo bayoratabhi manaso muni pungavanam sokyasti yatravata sinyavim chintitattva govindamadi purusha. The yogis, they're meditating just to get the chance, to get a glimpse of the lotus feet of the Lord. That's why we say, Charana Aravinda, Pada Kamala, we say lotus feet, not ordinary feet. Krishna's feet, they're called lotus feet, Pada Padma. There are so many words for lotus. So this will be combined with words for feet. And then we get lotus feet. Why lotus feet? One reason is because Krishna's feet are as beautiful as the lotus. The lotus is considered the most beautiful thing in the material world. So there's a comparison. Actually, you cannot say the lotus is as beautiful as Krishna. Just like we have, it's written here, Svalakshana Vilakshitai. The earth has been adorned by the impressions of Krishna's lotus feet. So usually, Svalakshana, by Krishna's impressions, the earth has been adorned. Krishna gives beauty, nayang shobha, beauty. Krishna gives beauty to everything. Just like it's said that the ornaments on Krishna's body, they become more beautiful by being put on Krishna. Not that Krishna He is the source of all beauty. Not that he becomes more beautiful when dressed, but rather he adds beauty to the ornaments that are put on him. Krishna is the source of all beauty. So the idea is given, lotus feet, just to give the idea, some idea of how beautiful are Krishna's feet. Lotus feet, lotus hands, lotus eyes, lotus face, lotus navel. All these parts are, certain parts of the body of Krishna are compared to the lotus. Lotus navel, particularly because the lotus from which Lord Brahma was born, that comes from his navel. So his name is Padmagarbha, Aravindanabha. All these names are there. So another reason why Krishna is called, he has lotus feet, is because his feet, one of the marks on his feet is the lotus. Another reason is because his feet are always touching the land of Vrindavan. Golok Vrindavan is compared to a lotus, lotus-shaped. So for all these reasons, Krishna is called lotus feet. Charana Aravindam, it means lotus feet. So, normally the feet are considered not very nice, but the lotus feet of Krishna, they are considered most worshipable, most desirable. If someone puts their foot somewhere, that becomes contaminated. Just like if you're cooking something, you cook some preparation, and you put, usually, of course, now in the modern age, we have all these sinks and all stoves, 1 meter, 1.5 meters high. But traditionally, cooking, the stove will be on the floor. You'll make from the earth, you'll excavate, and you put some wood or cow dung in there, and then you cook on the floor. So the food comes on the floor also. So if you already cooked it, and if it's not cooked, some vegetable, you touch it with your foot, you can wash it and cut it and use for offering to Krishna. But if it's already cooked and somehow someone's foot touches that pot even, you can't offer that. It becomes contaminated. But Krishna's lotus feet purifies everything. Just the opposite. Our feet contaminate everything. And Krishna's feet, they purify everything. That's why the earth is so fortunate that Lord Krishna has personally come and descended and placed his feet on the earth. The demigods, when they come to the earth, they don't touch it. They stay a little bit above. But Krishna is so kind, he touches the earth with his feet. That's why in Vrindavan, Krishna, wherever he went, the impressions of his feet, what is there, the rod for controlling an elephant? Ankush. It's called Ankush. Then the mark of a fish, lotus, wheel, there's so many in Padma Purana, there's full description. So wherever Krishna would go, in the dust, the impression of his foot would be, and all the inhabitants of Vrindavan, including the animals, they would make sure they never crossed that, so the impression would remain. So there must have been thousands and thousands. So even when Krishna went away from Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan would see Krishna's foot impression, and they would feel very sorry that Krishna is not here. But they wouldn't touch this thing. It's so much purified. The impression of Krishna's lotus feet. They wanted to see that. So Krishna's lotus feet purify, and meditation upon his lotus feet purifies. So we may say, well, why do we meditate upon his feet? He's also Padmaksha, Padmapani. His eyes are lotus eyes, his hands are lotus hands. So why only Pada Padma? Only why the feet? Of course, we meditate on all the parts of the body, but meditation on the form of the Lord begins with meditation on the feet. And specifically, meditating on the feet of the Lord, that expresses our humility and submission. We approach at the feet. If you approach face to face, that means on equal level. But a devotee thinks himself as a servant, so he approaches at the feet. Just like when you'll offer your obeisances, there was at the lotus feet, you'll find in writing, when someone is to write to his guru or to a respectable person. They will offer, in writing in session, charan kamaleshu, offering obeisances at the lotus feet. That is the etiquette. So we approach the feet. Of course, here we see Kunti. She's offering not first of all to the feet. She offers first of all to the... Has that verse already come? I think already, yes. That nama... How does that begin? Nama pankajana bhaya, nama pankajana... She first of all offers obeisances to the navel, then to the chest where the Namapankaja Malini, he's got. First of all she offers to the lotus navel, then she lotus offers the obeisances to one who is wearing a lotus garland, then to lotus eyed, and then only to the lotus feet. Namaste Pankajam Raye, last she's offering to the feet. So that's unusual. But because she is the aunt of Krishna, actually she knows I am the servant of Krishna. She knows that he's the Supreme Lord. But she offers first to his navel because she thought she doesn't want to disturb that relationship. That Krishna, everyone is the servant of Krishna. Even Radharani is a servant of Krishna. All the way up. You're never going to get in a position where you become the master of Krishna. Even the apparent master of Krishna, even Yashoda is tying up Krishna, but ultimately everyone is a servant of Krishna. But in the intimate relationship, the devotee takes the position of being superior to Krishna, so as not to disturb that. Kunti Devi started a little higher up, but then again she came to the feet also, offering her obeisances. It's unusual. Why the aunt will offer obeisances to the nephew is not done. But because she knows he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore she is offering obeisances. And she's praising those lotus feet, that how glorious, how fortunate is this earth. Elsewhere in the Bhagavatam, we find that Krishna is speaking to Balaram, that how fortunate is this earth, planet, that your lotus feet are touching. The grasses, the grass and that appears to be like the hairs of the earth, which is standing on end in ecstasy because Krishna and Balaram are touching their lotus feet to this earth. And how glorious is the land of Vrindavan, wherein Krishna and Balaram, they were always walking here and there, their lotus feet were touching the earth. How glorious is that land. Therefore when Akrura came, he saw the lotus feet impressions, and he rolled in the dust. Same as touching the feet of Krishna. How wonderful, how glorious. He was considering like that. And Uddhava, he was desiring that even though he's an intimate friend of Krishna, he was desiring, let me become a blade of grass in Vrindavan. Because, what is he thinking? That Krishna's lotus feet will touch my head. Not exactly that. He was thinking the gopis' lotus feet. They will touch my head. Because the gopis, he was thinking, how glorious are they? They're so much Krishna conscious that he desired that the dust of the lotus feet of the gopis would touch his head. Even though he is, from the external point of view, Uddhava is from the princely order, from the royal order. And the gopis are simple village girls. But Uddhava was desiring, let the dust of their feet be on my head, because they are such great devotees. So this is a great secret of devotional service. The lotus feet, we approach the lotus feet of Krishna. This is expressing our humility. Whereas the non-devotee, he wants to take the position of Krishna. We were hearing last night, what was that? Someone was saying that some Ananda, some Swami by the name of something Ananda, he was saying that, what is it? Control, who is in the room? Control yourself and then you can conquer the world. Then the world is yours. So he's desiring, I will, by, this is the desire of the demons, like Hiranyakashipu, to control your senses and mind And then you become very powerful and you can conquer the world. Demoniac. The devotee thinks, let me conquer my senses and mind by taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, so that I can use my senses and mind in the service of Krishna. He never has such a foolish desire to conquer the world. He simply desires to serve Krishna. One who serves Krishna, who takes that mood, he conquers Krishna by love. Just like Mother Yashoda tied up Krishna. She couldn't tie him up. Krishna was showing, you can't tie me up. But then eventually he allowed. All right, you tie me up. He allowed that he be tied up. But even then, you can't keep Krishna in one place. Tied up. He was tied up, but still Mother Yashoda went away. He thought, now he's tied up to a big, heavy grinding mortar. So he's under control. But Krishna showed that even though he made a show of being under the control of Mother Yashoda, he's not under anyone's control. He allowed, let me be tied up. But then he went off, dragging the mortar. He can loosen himself. But Mother Yashoda had tied him. So if he loosened himself, that would be displeasing to her. So he agreed, let me drag this mortar as the sign of his attachment to his devotee. Just like you see when husband and wife become, when they get married, they're tied up. So devotees, they also tie up Krishna by the ropes of affection. What is that called? Pranaya rasanaya, that's described in Bhagavatam. That the devotees, they tie up Krishna by the ropes of affection. And Krishna is independent, but the devotees, they capture him, just like Bilva Mangal Thakur. That Krishna used to come to him and then he would run away. And Bilva Mangal was an old man and blind. He would try to catch up Krishna, but don't run away, stay with me. And Krishna would run away. He said, you'll run away from my hand, but see if you can run away from my heart. That you cannot do. I've captured you in my heart. So the devotees, they capture Krishna. Even then, they can't control him. He has his own way of dealing. He's not stereotyped. You could never tell, just like in Vrindavan, Krishna was there. No one could say what Krishna would do. At any time, he was tied up with the mortar. Then he went away. And Mother Yashoda, she heard the loud sound. She saw the trees falling down and she saw the mortar. And she was wondering, now what happened? See, now we're reading that the trees fell down and they didn't harm Krishna, but she didn't know. She didn't know what happened. All the different demons came, Trinavitas, the whirlwind took Krishna away. Now we read in Srimad Bhagavatam that Krishna killed Trinavita and came. Mother Yashoda, she didn't know. Kaliya captured Krishna, carried him into the water. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan, they didn't know how the story ends. That Krishna comes up and then dances on the heads of Kaliya. They saw he's our young boy, he's gone in the water. In the poison water, captured by the snake. And he didn't come up for a long time. So they all thought, now Krishna has died. They were thinking like that. They didn't know how much pain they were in. Thinking that Krishna, in this way Krishna increased the love of his devotees for him. So the meditation on Krishna begins with meditation on the lotus feet. That is in awe and reverence, devotees approach Krishna. Gradually, devotees, as they become more intimate, they talk with Krishna, dance with Krishna, fight with Krishna. You see young boys, they're fighting. So Krishna's friends, they also fight with him. They joke with him. Sometimes in the fighting, Krishna is defeated also. So then they joke, ha, just see. Ha, thinks he's a big fighter. So can you imagine? This lotus feet of Krishna, they are meditated upon by great yogis. Dhyana avastita tadgatena manasa pajanti yam yogin. The great demigods, yam Brahma, Varunindra, Rudra, Maruta, stunvanti divyai stuvai. All the great powerful demigods are praying to Krishna, praising him. Different prayers. Vedai Sangha Kramapanishado Gayanti Yang Samaga. All the Vedas are glorifying Krishna. The yogis are meditating upon his lotus feet. Yasyanta Navidu Sura Suragana Devaya Tasmaya. No scientist or even a materialistic scientist cannot understand the limit of the glories of Krishna, or even a great devotee cannot understand. What to speak of understanding the glories of Krishna? No one can fully explain even one syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna. So even one syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam, you can never reach the end of explaining. There's no limit. There are so many commentaries on Bhagavatam. So many devotees have given commentary. They're all so many different realizations. Prati shloke, prati akare, nana artha koi. Every verse, every syllable of Srimad Bhagavatam, there's so many different meanings, realizations, and understandings. And Krishna is unlimited. No one can capture him. Therefore, the devotees approach very humbly the lotus feet of Krishna and take pleasure in serving his lotus feet. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. All right, one question.
Yesterday we actually read the shloka, so some devotees were asking about what is the meaning of different like umbrella or something.
Umbrella. Mostly these are royal insignia. This is described actually in the Padma Purana. All these different things are given, just like the thunderbolt on the Lord's feet, that's for destroying the material desires of the devotees. It's stated in Bhagavatam that the lotus feet of the Lord, by meditating upon them, they're like a thunderbolt which destroys the mountain of sin stored in the heart of the aspiring devotee. So all these different impressions, they have some symbolic meaning also. How the Lord is helping his devotees. I can find them. I don't remember offhand. I could find you if it would be easy if I had my computer. But it's in, I believe, in the 10th canto or 11th canto, one of the purports is described about this. It's very nice, taken from Padma Purana. What is the meaning of all these different symbols? Cousin, brother and sister. Yeah, Arjuna also married. No, was it Arjuna on the other side also? No, that was common. That you'll find in the Bhagavatam several. It may be. It's either on the paternal side or the maternal side. It's allowed in the Vedic system. The Indian tradition is that even from the same village they won't marry because they're like brother and sister. But at that time it was going on like that. Not very common, but sometimes.
So they can marry aunt's brother or son, but not uncle's brother or son.
Yeah.
The son of the aunt.
It still goes on. It's still in India, you'll find there are cases of that.
In some castes
it's allowed, in other castes not, yeah. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.